Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to have you with us here this Sunday afternoon. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedules and joining us for this program to see what God says and what the answers are from God's word to your questions. We thank you so much. And it is our earnest prayer and our earnest desire that you are hearing God's words when we are here on the program. And that if you disagree with certain things or certain passages of scriptures that we are using, please call it to our attention. We have no qualms or no problems with showing you what scriptures we are using. We try to give you the scriptures and we repeat them and try to give you a chance to write them down so that you can know that we are trying to do the best we can to just stay true to the name of the program and let the Bible speak. God's word has it all. It has all the answers. And so all we're trying to do is just to serve you and to help you with that. And so with that in mind, please go ahead and dial 308-9564. That's area code 843-308-9564. That's the number to reach us here at the station to have your question written down and sent in to us. 308-9564. Now, you have the option, if you want, when you dial that number, that you can request to ask your question all over the airwaves that is available to you. Now, there's a couple of things that we ask when you do call in your questions. First, when you call in your question, please ask your question in the form of a question. Please go ahead and try to give the operator who answers the phone here at the station, give them your question so they can write it down and get it to us. The question line is not a conversation line. We ask that you would please just to call, give in your question, because we only have two lines available. And so that way we can not, we don't want to miss anyone's question or anyone calling in. So please just be courteous and be aware of others trying to call and get their questions answered, and try to get your question answered, get your question written down as soon as possible. So please, we would appreciate that. And also, if you want to ask your question over the airways, we ask two things: that you would turn your radio down so that there is not a confusing echo, and also that you would give your name so that we can be polite and correspond with you by your name. So once again, those are all the things we ask. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564, or you can text in your question to 725-9283.
We are glad that you have joined us this afternoon, and our prayer is that you will be able to find the answers to the questions that are on your heart, and not just answers, but God's word, what God has to say about this. Because when we reach the end of our path here on this life, whether it be a great deal of time from now or whether it be sooner rather than later, when we stand before God, all that matters is how we have served Him in this life. He will have the final say of where we will spend the next life or the eternity that will begin at that time. And so it's so important for us to find the answers in God's Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that is the only avenue that we have to be able to show ourselves approved unto God. So now's your chance. Go ahead and call in your question at 308-9564, or you can text us. If you'd rather, with a cell phone, you can text us at, again, area code 843-725-9283. Those are the two ways by phone to call us. If you have a computer handy, you can also join us via the internet with our website, which is www.biblealone.com. And as you tune in through the internet, or if you have friends or relatives somewhere else in the world, then you can have them tune in as well via the internet through our website, biblealone.com. They can participate even right there on the internet site. There is a button at the bottom where they can write their question, and it will be actually sent directly to us here in the studio via the cell phone. And so they can reach us that way by texting in that question as well. And so please let your friends and relatives that are out of town, out of state, out of the country know about that as well. We have people that live in the outskirts that they tune in via the internet every week, and we're so thankful for every one of you that has taken out time on this beautiful afternoon today to be able to let the Bible speak in your life. So the numbers again, and the lines are now available, so go ahead and call. Area code 843-308-9564. 308-WJNI, and ask your question, and we will let the Bible speak. Thus, we're letting God speak to the answer to your question. 308-9564, both lines are available, and the text line is always available. That is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind.
Just want to call your attention to a passage that we like to give you when we start the program, just to let us all be on the same accord and make sure that you know that we are trying to give our earnest desire, that we are just trying to help you and serve you with getting to know God's word better, getting to know God's word and the answers that he has to the questions that are on your heart. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 1, if you are following along with us in your Bibles, or if you just want to know, Galatians chapter 1 is what we like to make mention of. Here we have a warning that we take very seriously. There's a warning here that we recognize, and we want to make sure that we are staying in line with this warning from God in Galatians chapter 1. In verses 6 through 9, that we are saying that what here Paul is warning here the church in Galatia, that he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who has called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so we take that warning very seriously, that we try not to preach a different gospel than the gospel that you find through the pages of scriptures in the New Testament of what Christ and his disciples have taught. So we try to follow that to the T, and we want you to know that is our earnest desire and our attempt with every program that we start.
We have a caller right now, Ben, standing by to go live over there, and he has a question he would like to ask over the air. Ben, are you there?
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. We're trying to push all the buttons to get you through.
Sure.
Okay, Ben, are you there?
Uh-huh.
Nope, we still hear nothing.
There we go.
It's a connection with a wire.
Huh?
Okay, Ben, can we help you there?
My question is... Philippians 4:13.
Yeah, you're talking. We apologize for not being able to
hear
you.
I can do all things to Christ, which quickened
me.
Okay.
There we go.
Does that mean right. Spiritually?
Okay,
Ben, physically?
Ben, if you'll start over.
Right. I can do all things to Christ, which quickened me. Do that mean I can do it to him spiritually or physically?
Okay, Philippians 4:13. It is a very good question. Thank you, Ben. We sure do appreciate this, and we apologize. The whole time on this station, we've had this one cranky speaker here. That is physical speaker, not
right.
People. That just gives us down in the country, and so it's
right.
Cutting up again today. So we apologize for the inconvenience. So
right.
If I understood your question, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Is that talking physical or spiritual? That's your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it would be the idea of the spiritual things in God's word,
uh-huh.
The things that God would have us to do through Christ that strengthens me. Christ wouldn't strengthen us to do things that would be contrary to
right.
His will. And
uh-huh.
So that task or that effort that is being made there would certainly be talking about the spiritual things that he would have us to be doing.
Right.
Matter of fact, Ephesians 3 and verse 20-21, it says that to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So
uh-huh.
There is a very similar passage. And so, yes, it would be along the line of God's will being done. And so if you think about it, what's tougher, doing my will or God's will?
Right.
Yeah, sometimes it's really hard to do what God would have us to do, especially when our flesh, our carnal, our gut would have us to do something different.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Well, Ben, we sure do appreciate your call, and thank you so much. And again, I apologize for the interruption there at the end.
That's okay.
All right, then. Well, God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to your question. 308-9564, and we have a text line. If you want to text us, you can text us at 725-9283. You have something you want to add to that, Chuck?
I just wanted to make reference of the Bible correspondence course that we have available. Just want to encourage you, if you have not signed up for the correspondence course yet, please take advantage of that opportunity and do so right now as I'm speaking. Like right now, 553-5157. Go ahead, please call in and sign up for the Bible correspondence course. There is so much rich material of God's word that is contained in the Bible correspondence course. And we want to encourage you so much to go ahead and take advantage of that. We've had many people around the Tri-County area who have partaken in the Bible correspondence course and have gone through and studied it and looked at the things that are contained in there. And they're all book, chapter, verse in God's word. And so many people have literally said that I have never seen so much of God's word and learned so much than what I have had just in this study in the Bible correspondence course. And we've heard that from people who have had years of Bible study and of being in trying to be in service to the Lord. So we just want to continue to encourage you to do so. Sign up for the Bible correspondence course. The operator is going to be standing by throughout the duration of the program and a little bit after the program. 553-5157. Please, we just want to encourage you to take advantage of that.
So don't miss out on this. This is the correspondence course that is so famous in this area. We've got thousands of people that are on the course, so make certain that you get this. Did we mention that it is free of charge? Yes, it is. It'll be in tomorrow's mail to your mailbox, so don't miss out on that. And again, the number is 553-5157. And here are the details on it. Now, if you've already gotten the course, go ahead and call in your question. The lines are now available. 308-9564 is the question line for your voice. Or you can text us your question at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We just appreciate your attention and appreciate you looking into what God's word contains in the scriptures. And we just want to make sure that you know that we are really, really serious about the correspondence course. It is absolutely free. It costs you nothing, but you will be able to have a lot of time in God's word and being led through the study. The questions lead you throughout the study. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that, because think about it. Those of you who have read through the Gospels and have been able to look at the Gospels throughout the period of your life, how many times does Jesus say to either scribes or Pharisees or even to his own followers, have you never read? You know, have you ever read? He says that many times throughout the study of the Gospels that we see. And so you don't want to be caught with that. Can he say that to you? Have you never read? Meaning someplace in the scriptures. Have you never read this? Have you never read that? So we just want to let you know that the Bible correspondence course, we want you to be able to say, yes, I have read. But not only have you read it, but also James chapter 1, verse 22. Be not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So you hear God's word and you apply it to your life and you do God's word. That's what we want to encourage you to do. That's what we want to edify and build you up to be able to do in your knowledge of what God's word says. So please take advantage of the correspondence course, 553-5157. Or go ahead, call in your question here at the station right now. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564. You can have your question here and it will come directly to us at the station. Or you can text in your question if you would prefer that. Text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283.
A few years ago, there was a new book that went on sale, or at least it was on display in the New York Public Library, that was claimed as the most expensive new book in the world. It was produced by an Italian publisher named Marilena Ferrari. Its cost? Over $100,000. The book itself was a depiction of the life and work of Michelangelo, included pictures and drawings and sculptures and all of the things that he had put together, including the creations in the Sistine Chapel, of his person and a lot of his personal poetry. The book itself weighed 62 pounds. It had a front cover made out of white marble. It was covered in red silk. The paper was one of Italy's oldest papers made there in Italy. Each book took 6 months to make. And to date, there are some 20 of these that have been made. The book comes with a 500-year warranty. After paying that much for it, I would hope so. But these books have been proclaimed as the most valuable new book in the world. But my friends, there's another book that is actually much more valuable. The most important book ever printed and the most valuable book is the Bible. What makes the Bible so valuable is its contents. The content, the message, the very words of God are contained therein. And thus it makes it a priceless treasure. The Christians at Thessalonica were commended by Paul when it says, and when we thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, that you heard us and you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. And when each of us hear this word truly as God's word, then we are to revere it as well. We are to listen with a view that this is God speaking to us and it is not man. You see, it's this book that contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts or commandments are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are unchangeable. We should read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. You see, the Word of God, why it's so valuable, is it reveals the state of man, that we are sinners. Unless our situation is remedied, we will be doomed to destruction for an eternity. The wage of sin is death. Jesus himself said that the broad way is what leads to destruction, and many go therein, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. See, that reveals the state of man. The Word of God also reveals the way of salvation. Oh, how many times have you heard John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus is that way of salvation. He himself said, I am the way. And he paid the price for our sins by dying on the cross and thus purchased the church, yes, purchase us with his blood. You see, this book also gives us the way of salvation. If we will just believe in him, if we will just repent of our sins, or we will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. We've got to confess that we believe in him, according to Romans 10, and we must be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And we must continue to walk in that light. You see, this book reveals to us the way of salvation. This book also reveals to us how that we might know God. Yes, it tells us about God. It is the only book in the world that truly, from God, explains who he is and how we should react to that. And if we do not learn to know him, if we do not know him, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 and 8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those, verse 8, that do not know God. It goes on to say, on those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to follow that way, obey that way, if we're going to be with him one day. So it says, tells us about the doom of sinners as well. And lastly, it also shows us to live, how to live happy as his children. He that would see good days, he that would honor God, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, makes it very clear. He tells us if we're going to do that, then what we must do is we must, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, that his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. My friends, the next verse says, And who is he that will harm you if you become a follower of what is good? There it gives us the hope of happiness and peace. Where do we learn about all this? Well, from this most valuable book. Oh, it may not be a 62-pound book and put in some library somewhere for display. This book needs to be put in our hearts. Are you willing? Are you able? Are you seeking? We hope and pray that you are. Why not call in your question right now at 308-9564. Find the answers that will make a difference in your life so that you may be able to be one of those blessed ones, not one of those that are doomed. Let's go after God with all fervency, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and demonstrate our love by obeying what he says. As Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Will you do that? Why not join us right now as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart? The lines are available. They're open right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Why not? Get your question answered right now from God's Word. If you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283.
Earlier, we've made mention of the Bible Correspondence Course and how there have been people who have been studying the Bible or reading the Bible throughout their life, and they're knowledgeable. They may know certain aspects of God's Word. However, they say we've heard them say that the Bible Correspondence Course contains many things that they have not known their whole life, and that things that they haven't read or read and just passed over and didn't realize how much weight it carried. Well, consider Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6 that says something very important that it really should apply to all of us. We should recognize how it applies to all of us. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Talking about God, it's impossible to please him. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is." And the last part of this verse is probably what's most important. It says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, what does that look like? Diligently seeking God. What Ricky just described there was as God's word being the most valuable and important book there is in the world. Do you recognize God's word as that? Do you recognize the Bible as that? Now, don't just think of the Bible as the Bible. And what I mean by that is the word Bible just means book. So don't just think of the word. Don't just think of the Bible as a book of, oh, well, it's just a lot of good stories. And it's just a lot of good things that we can apply to our lives. And, oh, it helps us in hard times. It gives us strength in hard times. And it proves that we can do a lot of good things. There's a lot of wrong views of how to look at the Bible. When you think about God's word, that's exactly what you should think of it as, God's word. This is the word of God, the creator and giver of and sustainer of life. That's what this is. It is God's book. It is God's word. We should see it as that. And we should know, like it says here in this verse, Hebrews 11:6, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligent means fervent. It means with passion, zeal, enthusiasm, desire. It's whatever you think you want the most in this world. It's more than that. It's stronger than that. Do you see God's word as that? Do you recognize that's what he intends on us to look at him as? If not, please go ahead and call in your question. Call in your question. Are there any things that you have gone through in your life that you wonder what God would have to say about it? Is there something that happened in maybe in your worship services or maybe in the church that you're a part of? Is something happened that made you think, no, does that really please God? Is that really what God would have us to do? If you've ever had anything like that come to mind, please go ahead, call 308-9564. 308-9564 to call in your question, and we will give you book, chapter, verse of what God's word has to say about that situation. Please go ahead. We're about to go to a break, but even while we are at break, you can call in or text in your question. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283, or you can call in your question to the question line even while we're at break. 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back. And being able to take some time this afternoon to listen to what God's word has to say, the questions that are on your heart. However, we haven't been receiving too many questions that have been on people's heart. But please, I just want to encourage you, if you're listening to my voice right now and you have had any kind of questions pertaining to life, godliness, or anything about what God would have you to do with your life in a specific situation, whatever the case may be, please go ahead, call in your question. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564. Don't believe we've mentioned our website today, our website, www.biblealone.com. There's a lot of different things on the website there. There are old recordings of this broadcast. There are also hard or difficult subjects that we hear multiple times throughout the course of us having this study that we have on there. So we have Bible studies of different subjects, like I believe there's marriage, divorce, and remarriage study on there. I believe there's a Old Testament, New Testament difference study on there as well as some others. So there are some other situations that you may have gone through or been able to think about or recognize. And so the website is available to you, www.biblealone.com. Please go ahead, take advantage of that. Also, there is a box on the website on the bottom right hand page around there. It is a live streaming link that you can click and listen to the program live streaming. Maybe you're about to get out the car or going to the house, or maybe you know someone in another part of the state or the country or the world that you think would be interested in whatever they have as far as the thoughts and questions about God that are on their heart and on their minds. You can let them know in other parts of the country or the world that they can get to the program through the live streaming link on our website, www.biblealone.com. As well, there is a box there at the bottom of the page where you can type in and press send. If you have a question, you can type in your question there. And that question will actually come directly to the phone here at the radio program as a text question. So that is available to you as well. So there's multiple different things available to you on that website. That, once again, that was www.biblealone.com. But to reach us here at the station, please go ahead and call in 308-9564, 308-9564. Both lines are available. If you call in, you will be the very next person to get your call through. 308-9564. 308-9564, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283. Ricky, I believe you have a text question.
Yes, we have a texter with the last three digits in their phone number is 113. They want to know, was Noah and Job perfect? And so I will go ahead and answer that by the same way that the New Testament would go about that, that all of us should be. And that word for saint, as in Philippians 1 and verse 1, the church there was referred to the saints, literally means someone that is pure, morally blameless, or religious, upright. And thus, Job and Noah are described that way as well. And so thus, someone that is forgiven would be also referred to as perfect. When you go to the word perfect, as used in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where the Word of God, if someone is following the Word of God, it says that the man of God may be perfect in the Old King James, and that word literally means the idea of complete. So when you know what the word is meaning and not get distracted by the Old King James language, it makes it a lot easier to understand that God would have us to be complete, perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work, and we do that by following his will. So when you look at Noah and Job, yes, they were perfect. Now, does that mean that they didn't sin? Well, no, error, all sin and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. And we earned by that sin death, separation from God, Romans 6 and verse 23. So by no means are these descriptions of Noah and Job saying that they had not sinned and also that they had earned death. But by the time that they lived under to receive the remission of sins, they became perfect or complete in Christ by doing what God says. Their hearts were in it. They also did what God says. And then when they offended God, they sinned against God, they would receive forgiveness as well. The same way is true with us. Now, we do not offer animal sacrifices as they would have done, but we do offer the sacrifice of a contrite heart, a broken spirit, and then also repent of our sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, that we will be baptized as where we are come in contact with the blood of Christ. Romans 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. And so we are baptized into Christ, and thus we become perfect or complete. If we want to know what that word means, it means the idea that we've been made complete in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we belong to him. And that doesn't mean that we won't sin again, because he that says that he has no sin, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He makes Christ a liar. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Twice it brings out in that passage that we will sin, but if we confess our sin, turning from our sin to walk in the light, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, there we go. We are made complete again through the blood of Christ as we continue to walk in that light. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. Again, we thank you for that. Again, the numbers, if you have a voice question, if you'd like to voice your question, the voice line is available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Chuck, you have a question?
Yes, I have Cynthia calling in this question. Cynthia, we appreciate you paying attention to the program, and we appreciate so much you dialing in and giving us your question. Cynthia has two questions. I'm going to answer the second one first. The second question is on the Lord's Prayer. And her question says, is it spiritually correct to use this in service over and over? How should we use this prayer? Well, if we look at that context there in Matthew chapter 6, it is indeed talking about praying. And the context starts in verse 5, where Jesus is speaking here during the Sermon on the Mount. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So these hypocrites were praying, but they weren't praying in order to please God or to really be focused on God. They were praying so they could be seen. They were praying so they could have some admiration from other people. So that, to that, Jesus responds, surely they have their reward, meaning instead of praying towards God and receiving something from God, they were praying to get admiration from men. So he said they have their reward. When you get that prideful feeling and when you get what people are giving you and that's really what you wanted from praying and standing on the street corners and in the synagogues, well, then he says, surely they have the reward. Then he says, but to you, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, here's the key, verse 7, I believe, because the specific part in the question says, is it correct to use this in service over and over? So here in Matthew 6, verse 7, it says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. So that phrase, vain repetitions, you're just repeating something over and over again, and it doesn't really have, if you're taking away the meaning from it, because it doesn't really have the oomph or the power, the strength that you should be giving in the prayer, well, then by just repeating it over and over again, even if it's just the Lord's Prayer, which he goes on to give them in verses 9 through 13, where he goes on, he tells them how to pray. He says, pray in this manner or after this manner. So meaning not, you don't have to pray exactly like this every time, but he says in this manner, meaning similar to this. So where he first, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So he gives God glory and gives God praise. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And also he gives God more praise there and showing that God is sovereign and what he wants will be done. And then he says, give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So asking for forgiveness for the things we do wrong, as well as asking him for a heart for us to forgive others when they do wrong to us, as well as providing for us, giving us our daily bread. Then he says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. So after this manner, meaning similar to this, and having these things to be focused on in your prayer to God, you know, giving praise and glory and honor to him, giving thanks for what he has given, being the sustainer of life and the giver of life that he is. Also being thankful for the many blessings that he continues to give us, whether it be physical, spiritual, or what have you, family members, loved ones, all those things, as well as our sins, confessing our sins to him and showing him that we are trying to repent and be willing to give more effort to doing better for him. So those, after this manner, what he's telling us to pray, and not just repeating this same, these exact words, not just repeating this over and over again. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Cynthia. We will come back in just a minute to answer your question. But 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. We are getting ready to take our next break. But even while we're at break, both lines are available. Please take advantage and call in your question. 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we are so glad that you have taken out your busy afternoon to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. We sure do appreciate your participation. And if you have questions, now's your chance. The lines are available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Or you can text us at 725-9283. So go ahead and call right now your question at 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. We have a texter this afternoon that has texted in this question. They texted again back on June the 2nd last week, and so I guess we didn't answer well enough last week. Concerning Revelation 18, about Babylon. Has Babylon already fallen, or is it still to come, based upon Revelation chapter 18? Well, let me encourage you to read Revelation 1 and verse 1 to know how to treat this book. Revelation 1 and verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it to by his angel to his servant John. The word signified, S-I-G-N, is the first syllable, sign, signified. This book is written in signs or symbols, pictures. It's actually a picture book. And all of these visions are to be painted on our mind as you read those and you interpret it as you observe these pictures that are painted. And so when you look at this picture that is painted in Revelation chapter 18, it's very similar to all the other pictures that are painted throughout the book with the same message. That message, and I say this because I fear what God has warned us about this book, so that I don't want to add anything to it or take anything away. The reason for that, Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. My friend, I do not want those plagues. I hope you don't either. But you know, of all the books that are written about the Bible, this book has two or three times more books written about it than any other book in the Bible. There is more said, more written, more speculation, and more abuse to this book than any other book of the Bible. So when you think about that, who do you think's happy about that? Being that God promised plagues to those that add to it. Verse 19, it says, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. So if we add something to it, if we take anything away from it, we're going to be, is it severe enough to say we're going to be in trouble? And so when you look at the chapter 18 picture that is painted through that rendition there, what we see there is the same picture throughout the book, and that is, be faithful unto death, as Revelation 3 and 20 says. Be faithful, even if it means death, the original language would put it, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. And so we need to make certain that we are faithful, even if it means death. I said that was 3:20. I was wrong. It's 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And so we need to make certain that we are, and that's the picture of every one of those visions, every one of those sets of seven things that were going on. It's going to get rough. It's going to get bad. But in the end, we're going to be winners. We're going to win. That's the message of this book. And I hope that's been helpful to you. And so let's make certain that we just don't take this book because it is so spectacular and so mythological, it's so sensational that we get all wrapped up in these pictures when the picture is just a picture with a conclusion. We're going to win. And let's just be content with what it says and what God was trying to do to those New Testament Christians who needed some words of comfort during that first century. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Again, if you have a question you want to ask, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yeah, we are back. I'm sorry. We're going to answer the first part of Cynthia's question that she sent in, and that question was on Matthew 6:33, talking about the kingdom of God, and she asked that she would explain this. And I love so very much the fact that Cynthia asked this question, because earlier we were talking about where Hebrews 11, chapter 6, where he says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so for Cynthia to ask a question about Matthew 6:33, I just find that beautiful. And because Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you. See, really, that seems like it's almost a direct correlation with Hebrews 11:6, because he talks about being a reward of those who diligently seek him. So if we diligently seek him, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to us. And these things, if you go up in the context, back up from 19, continue on to the end of the chapter in Matthew 6, you'll see that these things he was talking about was food, water, and clothing. So he says, don't worry about all these things. Don't worry about all that. What you should be worried about, what you should be focused on, is seeking first the kingdom of God. So Cynthia wants to know, well, explain this. How do I seek it? You know, and that's great. So concerning the kingdom, let's look at Luke 17:20. That's what I'm trying to say. Luke chapter 17 in verse 20, it says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees, talking about Jesus, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. See, the Pharisees, the scribes, those elders and religious leaders at the time, they were thinking the kingdom of God, if I'm not mistaken, they were thinking it was going to be a physical kingdom.
They asked about that, matter of fact.
Yeah, so they were thinking physical kingdom, as in Jesus was going to come and with military force and strength take over the Romans and be able to take back Jerusalem, and it was going to be a physical type kingdom. So that's what they were thinking of.
And there are people today that think that as well. In the premillennial theories, they're thinking that there's going to be some kind of physical conflict where Jesus clearly says what he says about it there that you're about to read.
Exactly. He says the kingdom of God does not come with observation. It says, nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within us. Well, wait a minute. If the kingdom is within me, how am I supposed to seek it? Well, go over to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So we see God, we're supposed to be serving him, it says, with reverence and with godly fear. That's when we're a part of the kingdom. We're a part of the kingdom as his obedient servants who serve him with this reverence and godly fear. If you have reverence, and let me just quickly point out that word reverence there, it's only being used to describe how we should have attitude towards God. You will never find that word reverence talking about a man or as a title. Just wanted to throw that in there as a sidebar. So the reverence is the godly fear. As a matter of fact, that's really the definition of it, godly fear. So just wanted to throw that in there right quick. So those who, if you have a reverence or godly fear towards God, you're going to obey him. You're going to serve him with what he commands and what he says. And if we look at that there, once again, that was Hebrews 12:28. He says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So that there is, the kingdom is within us. The kingdom of God is the people, his church, Christ followers, Christ church, those who are members of the church, which we, when we look at Acts chapter 2, we see the Lord adds to his church daily those who are saved. So we see that there in Acts chapter 2, which the Lord adds to his church, the church being the kingdom. So we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God, his righteousness, seeking his people, seeking his church. We should be seeking his church to find his church so we can do what we need to do to obey God and be added to his church. That's where we're supposed to be doing. And one of the last passages to look at, Revelations 1 verse 9. Is when John says, I, John, once again, this is Revelations 1 and verse 9, says, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom. So John says he is your brother in the kingdom. John is in the kingdom as he's writing this. He is in the kingdom. What would that kingdom be? Once again, the kingdom being the church, those who believe in God, those who have that reverence and godly fear towards God, those who obey him, those the Lord adds to the church when they are saved. That is the kingdom of God, his people, his church. That is the kingdom of God. Once again, those were verses that I used were Luke 17 verses 20 to 21, Colossians 1:13, Hebrews 12:28 and 29, as well as Revelations 1:9. I also mentioned Acts chapter 2. So once again, that was Luke 17, 20 and 21, Hebrews 12, 28, Revelations 1, 9, and Acts 2, verses 30.
There's one more, John 18, 36, that they might be aware of as well. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, for if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I might not be delivered to the Jews, and thus my kingdom is not from hence. And so it is a spiritual kingdom. It's not something of a physical might and fight kind of thing. It is a matter of serving him as king. He is our Lord Most High, and his kingdom is not of this world. So hopefully that's been helpful to you to note the difference. There's a lot of characteristics about a kingdom today that we as Americans do not relate to. That he is the only potentate, is another way these refer to. He has all power, all reverence, and deserves all honor. And so we've got to learn how to serve him that way, which gives us no power and no honor. He deserves it all because he purchased us with his blood. So we thank you so much for that very, very important question. It's time for us to take another break already again. I'm so sorry. We got a question coming up that is concerning marriage and divorce situations, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, while we are at break, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. We'll be reading from there to answer the question, Matthew chapter 19. We want you to know the correspondence course that we are offering throughout this program through every week. It is free. There are thousands of you that have already partaken of this, that you have at least received in the mail, and many, many hundreds of you have been active in this course, and we thank you for that as well. But one thing for certain, you will neither be blessed nor even find out the answers via this course if you never ask for it. We'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. The only thing you have to lose are your sins. The only thing you have to lose is possible eternal residence with a very tropical location. You don't want that. You want to be with God forever. And so the only way to find that way is to seek him through his word. Why not get the course in the mail to you and tomorrow's mail? Go ahead and call 553-5157. If you've already gotten the course, call in your question. The lines are now available, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Have taken out time to join us, and we hope and pray that the things that we cover today will be a blessing to you as we go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Again, we're in crunch time now. This is the last 30 minutes, so please go ahead and get in your question. We will do our best to answer it today on today's broadcast, so don't miss out on your opportunity to let the Bible speak concerning the question on your mind. Again, the number is 308-9564 or 725-9283. Before the break, we had mentioned about a question concerning marriage. In their question from the number 073, the text question is, what about a spouse that willfully divorces their spouse and ignores Scripture in an unbiblical divorce, and after divorce commits adultery, and you beg them not to, with no repentance of changing their ways to repair their marriage? Why does, or where does this leave an innocent spouse? Okay, very good question. Here's your answer. It's always been here. So go to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll begin with verse 3. Matthew 19, beginning with verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, Jesus, saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said unto them, here's Jesus speaking. He says, have you not read? Hey, we mentioned that earlier, didn't we? Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Well, then the disciples ask him, well, then why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? Here's Jesus' answer. Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Now, verse 9, I'm going to read it without the clause in the middle, and then I'll come back and add it so that we do not get confused. It says, so I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife, now I'm skipping, and marries another commits adultery. is whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Now, of course, I skipped that phrase. That phrase is, except for sexual immorality, or the old King James, except for fornication. And so if that occurs, then that would be the exception to this rule. Well, the disciples understood that, and then they responded in verse 10, well, if such is the case of a man and his wife, it's better not to marry. And Jesus answers, all cannot accept this thing, but only those to whom it is given. And then of all things, Jesus brings this subject up, verse 12. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able, let him accept it. And so there we can see what Jesus teaches about that. So the innocent party, the one that did not commit fornication, is free to marry again. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, that's Matthew chapter 19 and verses 3 through 12. And by the way, if you want the other gender discussed, you can look in Mark's account, Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. So hopefully that will be helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question. Again, we're glad that you're tuned in with us. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, this question from an anonymous caller says, what do you do when you have two broken legs for the Lord? Well, serve him. Same thing you would do if you had legs that were working. I don't want to sound harsh, and I apologize if that's what the case may be, but there should be no situation in this life we would allow that to stop us from serving the Lord. If I got one arm, I'm going to serve the Lord with one arm. If I got one leg, I'm going to serve the Lord with one leg. So we should always be focused on continuing to serve the Lord in whatever capacity we can. He expects us to study his word and apply it to our life no matter what the situation would be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a situation here where Paul was dealing with a thorn in the flesh. And he said in verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it may depart from me. In verse 9, the Lord's answer to him is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul's response to that was, well, therefore, I most gladly will rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches and needs, persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I forget the guy's name, but there is a popular person on YouTube that he doesn't have any arms and doesn't have any legs, yet he travels the country preaching about God and telling people how great God is and all the things God has done for his life. If it slips my mind what his name is, but that's just, it can be so inspirational to us to see someone, no arms, no legs, traveling the country, talking about Christ and how great Christ is.
They can do a search with YouTube and find that pretty easy. And so,
right. Yeah. So we shouldn't let any kind of infirmities or anything physically hold us back from serving God spiritually. Hope that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10.
The lines are available 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. We have Cynthia calling in. We certainly appreciate your call and joining us today. I just noticed WA there is the location. Is that
West Ashley?
Okay. We thank you for listening and joining in today. Her question is concerning Revelation 1 in verse 10, where John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Is he referring to the Sabbath or the first day of the week? Well, good question. We sure appreciate that very much. And then you want us to elaborate on whether it's the Sabbath or the first day of the week. And so we'll be glad to do that right now. As you know, one of the commandments, the fourth commandment Exodus chapter 19:20, it brings out the fourth commandment was that they were to keep the Sabbath holy. That was part of the law that was given on the day Moses received the law, and thus that was one of the things that they were commanded to do. And so when we turn to the New Testament, as far as the law of commandments that were received that day, Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, says, having wiped out the handwritings of requirements that were against us, which were contrary to us, for he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, made us public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substances of Christ. So there, God, through Paul, through this book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, couples the Sabbath right along with all the other feasts that were nailed to the cross. Matter of fact, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 even couples everything to what happened to Jesus on the cross. And it says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. So let's make certain that we know what happened to the Sabbath. It was fulfilled. That was part of it, leading to Christ. Now Christ is the substance, the real thing, the law that God wants the mankind to be following. So again, to answer your question, is that talking about the Lord's Day, talking about the Sabbath, or the first day of the week? Well, at the beginning of the last chapter of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Jesus arose on the first day of the week. That resurrection is what has given us the hope of being able to be raised with him one day. He was the earnest of our resurrection one day. Had he not rose from the dead, we would have no hope whatsoever. Well, then the phrase is also used and peculiar to a couple of other activities that have been he has instructed us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. This collection was to be done on the first day of the week. That matter of fact, they were to gather together on this day. In Acts chapter 20, we see Paul waiting a whole week for the first day of the week in Acts 20 and verse 7. And it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, continued his message till midnight. So there we see them gathering together to partake of the Lord's Supper, to break bread. We see them gathering together also to give of their means if they've been prospered on the same day, the first day of the week. So those were the days that God's people were to come together. So when you put Jesus rose on that day, that's when they were to give of their means or give contribution to God, and they were to commune with God on that day. One more interesting tidbit is that it's very possible that that's the day the church began as well. 50 days after the Passover, if that Passover had been on what we call Saturday today, then that would have made the Pentecost on the first day of the week as well. Namely, what occurred on that day, that's when the church began. And so that's not as quite as finite as the first three reasons I gave, but when you put all those together, it's pretty safe bet that that's probably what John was referring to when it says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Cynthia, I hope that's helpful to you. Again, that's Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17, Galatians 5, 4, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and the first verse of the last chapter of each of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hopefully that is helpful to you. Thank you, Cynthia. It's time for us to take our last break. We do want you to know this is it. Get your question in right now or forever stay in the dark. Better get your question in now. 308-9564. I'm kidding with you. The answer is in the Bible the whole time, but we might be able to help you to see it and find the answer. So call in your question right now. 308-9564. We'll be right back. And we're back live now. And I have a correction to make. It was pointed out to me during the break that the John was the only one that it's the next to the last chapter in that book that points it out. So the next to the last chapter in John and not the last chapter. So that's why we have two people here to correct each other as we make our mistakes. And so thank you. Thank you for the correction. And just want y'all to know that. Again, the number is 308-9564. We've got about 12 minutes. Go ahead and call in your question right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
And we have this text question whose last three digits are 292. They text in a question that says, how was the Lord's Prayer made? I'm assuming that is in response to what we were looking at earlier in Matthew chapter 6 with the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 through 13. And, well, it seems to as if it was made by the Lord. The Lord is the one who was telling them this. They posed a question to him, asking him how to pray. It wasn't in this account where we see the question. In this account of Matthew's account, we just see him talking about this as part of the Sermon on the Mount. However, if we look over to Luke chapter 11, I believe that's where they asked him. Yes, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says that his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And that's where the Lord's Prayer is said there in Luke 11, chapter 1 through, excuse me, Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. So it seems as if his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, and that's how he taught them how to pray. He said, in this manner, pray. And so the Lord's Prayer, where was it? How was it made? Well, it was made by the Lord. The Lord decided to tell them that. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was Matthew 6, 9 through 13 and Luke 11, 1 through 4. 308-9564. We got maybe about 8 or 9 minutes left in the segment. You can make it in calling your question 308-9564 or texting your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
So don't miss out on getting your question on today's program, 308-9564. We have Nick answering the phone today, and so go ahead and keep him busy. He is looking a little bored there, so go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. You can text us at 725-9283 as well, and we will be glad to answer your question on today's broadcast. Please know that you've also got this last segment to call the operator standing by for the free Bible correspondence course. It looks like we've had about a half a dozen or so to enroll in the course this afternoon, and we're thankful for you to call in and get this course. We're glad to send it to you in the mail, and it is free. And you very well may discover things in God's Word that you have never heard before. So don't miss out on this. Get your question in or go ahead and get your Bible course on the way to you. Don't miss out on getting this course to you today. That number again is 553-5157, 553-5157. And we also have a rush in calls at the end of the program usually. We want everyone to know that you are our honored guest, and we thank you for your for the opportunity to be able to serve you. We have questions from every subject you can imagine, and we want you to know that we are thankful for your question, and we pray that it will be helpful to you. Again, don't miss out on the correspondence course. That number again is 553-5157.
We have a text question that says, could you please explain Proverbs chapter 6? From verse 30 to the end of the chapter, which would be 30 through 35. Well, the first two verses of verse 30 and 31 is talking about a man. It says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. So that one there is talking about that verse 30 and 31. Seems to be mentioning if someone steals, who, you know, stealing would be a sin. However, if they're doing it for the cause of feeding their family, if he's starving or feeding himself, it says people they wouldn't despise him. However, he would have to pay it back. So seems to be showing that there has to be a level of accountability, that you will be accountable for the things that you do. If you do something wrong, even if you do it for what you may perceive it as a good reason, it's still doing something wrong. So we show there must be a level of accountability. And then from verses 32 to 35, that's just talking about committing adultery and the dangers associated with committing adultery. However, I do want to preface it by showing that in verse 34, one of the reasons that is shown for not committing adultery is because of the husband's jealousy or because of the husband's fury, because of the punishment or the danger that would come from the husband. I just want to point out that we should not have a worldly motivation or a worldly sorrow, because 2 Corinthians 7:10 says a godly sorrow produces repentance, but sorrow of the world produces death. So our sorrow, or us being sorry when we're doing something, it should not be in fear of man and man doing us harm. It should be in fear of God and God doing us harm, and God being displeased from us and our sins separating us from God. So that's the only thing I like to point out there. So that is what that is talking about there in Proverbs 6, verses 30 through 35. Thank you for that question, 308-9564. You still got a few minutes, 308-9564, to call in your question. Ricky?
Yes, we have a couple of questions here. I'm going to combine them. One is, how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost? And does God speak directly to your heart? Does God lay a feeling on your heart? And should we listen to that may be laid on our heart? Well, very good questions. We appreciate this very much. And there are several things to consider. Is that God is not the only instructor or the one that is manipulating situations. Matter of fact, now we know in his word in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness contained in his word. That word all is used there. And thus, it equips us thoroughly to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And if we go by any other source, then it will not be by faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is the way of death. So we cannot just go by what we seem, what we think, what we feel, because we may sincerely be thinking or feeling something that is absolutely wrong. Case in point, Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul says of himself that as he was killing Christians, committing them to prison, that he says in Acts 23:1 that I did it in all good conscience before God, that he had lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And so therefore that, even while he was killing Christians, he did with a clear conscience. He thought he was doing right before God, but his heart was filled with the wrong information that made him do those things. And thus, as Jesus approached him on that road that day, he says, "What? It is hard to kick against the pricks. Why are you doing this? This is not right." And thus, he was instructed correctly, and thus he obeyed the Lord. And he was so moved by the correct information, his heart was right, even though his information was wrong. What did he do about that? He immediately stopped, even though he was under orders by the most powerful man on the earth at that time, the high priest, to commit these Christians to prison. He stopped that immediately. He did not continue on with that mission at all, but continued on to serve the Lord. So if there is somebody out there today that thinks they're serving God and they are not following God's word, then they are not following what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because this word of God, Ephesians 6, brings out, is the sword of the Spirit. So if we're being cut or moved or touched, or our heart is being manipulated by any other source than God's word, my friend, it is not the Holy Spirit that is working on you. Let me repeat that. Being that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And if we're not listening to what the word of God says, It is not the Holy Spirit working on your heart. Okay, hopefully that is helpful to you. So being filled with the Spirit has a direct connection with what God says in His Word. So if we're not being following God's Word, then it is some other source, some other authority that is moving us and taking us where it wants us to go. Thank you so much for your question. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. You have another question?
Yeah, just a quick question. It says, it's an anonymous caller. It says, what happens to people who falsely accuse someone? Well, falsely accusing, that's probably being described as a liar, someone who lies, falsely accused. In Revelations 21:8, it not only mentions lies, it mentions a couple of different activities that people partake of. It says, Revelations 21:8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So those who falsely accuse someone are going to be in this, because it says all liars. But however, let's not lose track of the fact that everyone who practices those things falls equally. So unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, all those as well as liars are all equal. So let's not lose track of that. Revelations 21:8.
We're about to run out of time. We want you to know that we are thrilled to have had you with us today, and we hope and pray that the things have been helpful to you. We've given you book, chapter, and verse on all these questions, and we hope that it has been an edifying experience as we look to the Bible to find out what God has to say. Continue to call to enroll in the course. Here's the details on that. Don't miss out either today nor the rest of this week on what God has to say in His Word on the questions that will help us to heaven as we let the Bible speak.